Good morning, Applewood family. Those near and those far, out there somewhere, glad that you're with us. Janine, thank you for your welcome. Had I known, I would have just said, come up and preach the sermon. That was terrific. So, both last week and this week, sheep play a prominent part in the I am statement of Jesus. Now, do you know anything about sheep? Some do. Mostly what I've read, I do remember sheep being a little flighty, and they were very fast runners when my buddy and I growing up would throw rocks at them or snowballs. There was a farm that was out behind his house. That's my only firsthand experience with sheep. I've always heard that they are really dumb and defenseless. So, you'll be glad to know I did some reading this week about sheep and found that defenseless is pretty accurate. But sheep may be smarter than we think. This is according to some, anyway. And I'll be honest, since Jesus refers to his followers as sheep, I kind of like the idea that maybe we're a little smarter than we've thought. Just very little, actually. Studies show that sheep have good memories. They can remember at least 50 individual sheep and humans for years. Now, I don't know how they know that. I don't know how you ask the sheep who they remember or not. But I also thought this was funny. I read that after the shearing season, they can have trouble recognizing each other. They're considered to have a similar IQ level to cattle. I don't know what that is. And are nearly as clever as pigs. And capable of problem solving. I don't have any idea what those problems would be. Like various other species, sheep make different vocalizations to communicate different emotions. They also display and recognize emotion by facial expressions. I've not been close enough to them to know that. Sheep are known to self-medicate when they have illnesses. They will eat some specific plants when they are feeling sick that can help them get better. And just in case you're wondering, sheep lovers around the world have declared October 27th every year to be Hug a Sheep Day. So, you've got until October 27th to find yourself a sheep that you can hug on that day. There are plenty of them, as latest count is over a billion of them in the world. All right. On a bit more serious note, some of you might know the modern classic devotional, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, written by Philip Keller. He was a missionary kid born in East Africa, and he studied agronomy, animal management, spent much of his life managing ranches, and he spent a lot of time with sheep. He tells a story of an experience that he had when he was doing some shepherding in East Africa. He says the land adjacent to his was rented out to a tenant shepherd who didn't take very good care of his sheep. His land was overgrazed. It was eaten down to the ground. The sheep were thin. They were vulnerable to attacks by wild animals, and some of them actually were. Keller especially recalled how the neighbor's sheep would line up at the fence and blankly stare in the direction of his green grass and his healthy sheep, almost as if they yearned to be delivered from their abusive shepherd, as if they longed to come to the other side of the fence and belong to them. Those last two lines, just made this morning's I Am statement of Jesus jump off the page for me in a way that it hasn't before. Let me read them again. The neighbor's sheep would line up at the fence and blankly stare in the direction of his green grass and his healthy sheep as if they yearned to be delivered from their abusive shepherd, as if they longed to come to the other side of the fence and belong to him. In our text this morning, there's such a beautiful salvation message that it has me wondering how am I living on a daily basis in relationship to my good shepherd? How about you, brothers and sisters? Do we live in such a way that other sheep in this world who do not know the love and the care of our good shepherd, do we live in such a way that they look longingly at our lives and wish that they could live under the care of Jesus, the good shepherd, our good shepherd? Our text this morning is found in John 10 again, and our reading follows right after last Sunday's text, where you might remember we heard Jesus say, "I am the gate of the sheep. I am the gate of the sheep." And we learned that he was saying that for the benefit of the Pharisees, who were criticizing and not believing in him because of a man born blind whom Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. A man born blind, whom Jesus healed on the Sabbath, but because that didn't fit the rules, they criticized Jesus. You might recall in Matthew's gospel, chapter 23, Jesus had some harsh words for Pharisees. One of them was, "You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you are filled with the bones of the dead." Not exactly a compliment. And I think that a similar sense, less harsh, but a similar sense is going on here in John 10. Jesus has done a remarkable, phenomenal, never before seen miracle of giving sight to a man who was born blind. Born blind. Never seen anything. Doesn't know how to picture anyone. Not the world around him, not the faces of his parents or siblings or friends. Born blind. Jesus changed his life. And the Pharisees are critical because it happened on the Sabbath. And I think to myself, really? Really? So as we read Jesus' words together this morning, I want to encourage you to hear them as another lesson, perhaps indictment might be a better word, for the religious leaders. What Jesus is to his sheep, they are not. And what we need to hear this morning is that what Jesus is to us as the good shepherd, no one else can be. And what we find in Jesus can only be found in Jesus. And unless a person knows the good shepherd, they cannot find those things that his sheep have. No one and no thing can be for us or for anyone else what Jesus can be to them. So let's stand and read this text together. Here we go. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" My sisters and brothers, this is the word of the Lord for us. Amen. Needless to say, the blind man's healing is really pivotal in the dialogues that are happening after it, as we have been seeing. We talked last week about the images of the sheep and the fold. The gate. Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." The gate was both the way into the fold and the protection of the sheep. Jesus was claiming to be the way into abundant life and the one who keeps the sheep safe from danger. We talked about Jesus being the gate in our lives, meaning it is well with our souls. The shepherd lays across the entrance to the fold at night, guards the sheep with his own life. Familiar images to those who were listening to Jesus, because sheep herding was huge, one of the major occupations in the first century. This morning, Jesus raises the ante with his claim to be the good shepherd. He has healed the blind man, a demonstration of the power of God. Some see it and some don't want to see it, but they understood that the opening of blind eyes surely was the power of God, not something that they had seen before by anyone else. And now Jesus uses language that I think the listeners would have heard, if I can say it this way, as the divine shepherd. Now, remember their history. You know, they have been sheep herders, many of them, for centuries and centuries. They would have thought of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jeremiah 23 gives us a picture of God gathering the nation as a flock of sheep that had been scattered. Ezekiel 34 prophesied, "As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them. I myself will rescue them and have them lie down." When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is clearly stating that he is not just one of many shepherds, some who care about their sheep more than others. Jesus is saying to them that he is the shepherd who takes absolutely perfect care of his sheep. And as I mentioned, I think this claim, coupled with the blind man given his sight, was a clear statement of who he was, and I think that is why there was such a reaction to these words. He is demon-possessed, and he's raving mad. Why listen to him? Who would say this kind of thing? Either it's true, or the person is crazy. Jesus is claiming the place and the role of God as being the one who cares for his people. Hear that. This is not just a cute little statement that ties into the agrarian nature of much of their first century society. Oh yeah, I'm a good shepherd and I take care of my sheep. No, no, no. These are Jews that are hearing those words and linking it to the Old Testament that so many had heard so often taught in the synagogue, espousing the greatness of God, God as shepherd and caretaker of his people. This Jesus, who himself has been teaching in their synagogues, now links those two things together, himself with the good shepherd. His reference to the Father loving him and knowing him as he knows the Father. Wow. Kind of throwing down the gauntlet there. Either you believe him and act upon what you believe, or you write him off as a demon-possessed loony. Jesus is saying, I am God, the shepherd of the people of God. Those who listen to my voice and follow me will be kept safe. Those who do not will live a life that ends in destruction and death. Because that's what happened to sheep in the first century and probably still does around the world. The safety of the sheep was always in the hands of the shepherd. The shepherd in the first century was the difference between life and death. Sheep left to themselves would die. They just would. They're defenseless. The shepherd would lead them to food. He would lead them to water. He would apply oil on their wounds, their scratches from briars or cuts from sharp rocks or something. The shepherd did everything necessary for the sheep to live healthy, abundant lives. Whatever that is for a sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he has done everything necessary for his sheep to live healthy and abundant lives. He said, I have come that they will have life and have it abundantly. And this is where what I said earlier about sheep might be important for us to hear again. Sheep are not unintelligent, but they're pretty much defenseless, is what I've read. Might give you a swift kick now and again, but that was about all that I could find in terms of a sheep's ability to defend themselves. They cannot take care of themselves well, and they certainly cannot defend themselves. It was and it is imperative that the sheep stay with the shepherd. As Janine mentioned in her welcome, that doesn't sit well with us all the time, does it? There is something that is woven into the fabric of what it means to be American. Probably human, but maybe exacerbated by the fact that, you know, we have been for centuries a nation of rugged individuals. I don't want to be dependent. I don't want to have needs. I don't want to have to ask for help. Can you relate at all? It's just in us. It's just in us. I had the most humbling reminder, and I don't know if I've told you this or not. I think I've shared it with some individuals. When Sharice and I went out to Salt Lake City back in July to help Andrew and Kelsey and at that time just Leo pack up their little house and into a U-Haul truck and out we came to Colorado. I remember, and really not confessing it to anyone, I remembered sort of dreading packing the truck. It's a moving truck. Who likes to do that, right? And then I remember what an incredible blessing it was to realize that two of my sons had made reservations and were flying out to be with us the night before we were going to pack the truck. And I never would have admitted this to them. I'm not sure that I still have, because I want to be the dad that knows everything, doesn't ever need any help. Those guys, plus Andrew, who were already living there, it was fabulous. I hardly did any work, guys. I supervised. Oh yeah, that dresser, bring that on in here and let's put it right here. It was the most joyful humbling that God has given me in a long, long time. I realized, you know what? There just comes a point where you need help. You know, swallow your pride and admit it. I think for us as the people of God, we might not think of it as prideful. Maybe it's just more sort of woven into to my personality type and who I am. I don't go around proclaiming how wonderful I am and how strong I am and how I don't need anybody, but we can sometimes live that way in our spiritual lives. My goodness, you know, how many days of the week can we count and remember waking up every morning with thanksgiving to God for who He is to us? Father, I woke up this morning, I took a breath, and my eyes worked, and I ate something, and I didn't choke and die. It's just all of life, we've said many times, is held in His hands. That's what it means. That's what it means to be in the hands of the Good Shepherd. Sheep die without a shepherd. And, in theory anyway, as they get older and wiser, is there such a thing as a wise sheep? They know that the safe place to be, the nourishing place, the healing place, is always with their shepherd. They learn that. And they remember that. In Keller's book on the 23rd Psalm, he points out that sometimes it is necessary for the shepherd to break the leg of a young lamb because a young one sometimes doesn't know the shepherd well and insists on wandering off away from the flock and away from the safety of the shepherd. And while that leg heals, if you've read it, you know where the sheep is. The shepherd puts him around his neck and carries him on his shoulders. It's the only way that the sheep can now get around with a broken leg. And as that leg heals, the sheep is with the shepherd pretty much every moment of every day. Gets to know the shepherd. Knows the smell of the shepherd and the voice of the shepherd. Knows what the shepherd looks like. So that when that leg heals, guess what? The sheep, the lamb, is always with the shepherd. Because the lamb has gotten to know the shepherd and has learned and will continue to learn that the shepherd means life. All that is needed in a sheep's life is provided by the shepherd. Can we stop here for just a few moments and do a little bit of reflecting? Dallas Willard says that the opening words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," is written on many more tombstones than it is on lives. Such a great statement. It is worth thinking for a few moments. So just quietly, would you just in your own heart respond to these questions? How is your relationship with Jesus, your God, your shepherding God? Do you live into the truth that He is life for you? And when I ask that, I mean, do you live into the truth that He is life for you now? Not just eternal life, as glorious and important and as wonderful as that is, but abundant life now that just takes off and leads us into eternity. Are you experiencing the abundant life that He has promised? Sheep don't experience abundant life apart from the good shepherd. And soul-satisfying life is found, my brothers and sisters, nowhere else than in Jesus, our good shepherd, our God shepherd. Grace, would you put that next slide up on the screen for us? I want to just leave this up and make some obvious reminders or some points. These words of Jesus that we read together earlier as we close this morning, I want us to hear a few things that remind us of the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Do we? We know that He knows us. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus, our shepherd, wants to have a relationship of intimacy with each one of us. He knows us. He knows you. He knows me. He knows our life circumstances. He knows what makes us smile, and He knows what makes us sad. He knows what we are up against. He knows what we face tomorrow. He knows us. Do we ever stop and say, Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, thank you for inviting me into your flock. Thank you for knowing me. Thank you for reminding me of that sometimes through the painful and the hard circumstances that force me to you. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, says Jesus. Wow, we could unpack that one for days. That's John 17 language, where Jesus is talking about oneness with the Father, intimacy with the Father, and when He prays that His followers will be unified, that they will be one as He and the Father are one. Jesus is saying, I know you, and the Father knows you, and we can just go ahead and say, and the Spirit knows you. God knows you, and you, through the shepherd, have the opportunity to know God in ways that others cannot touch. And, by the way, I laid down my life for the sheep. Wow. Yeah, we know that the shepherd in Palestine laid down across the opening to the sheep pen to keep the sheep safe, Jesus, speaking with an image that carried more to it than just the shepherd in the field, but the Son of God who would come because of such great love for lost sheep that he would lay down his life for the sheep. Oh yeah, and not just the Jewish sheep, but other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, says Jesus. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Boy, I read in those words this large, seeking, pursuing heart of God for lost and broken people in the world. Jesus talks about his sheep knowing him and following him. Do you remember what was the statement that Jesus often made to someone when he called them to be his disciple? He would say, follow me. Follow me like sheep follow their shepherd. And we understand that in the theological world that touches the practical day-to-day world, God has called us into his fold so that we might be on mission with him throughout our lives to call others who would perhaps love to be in his fold. I asked you earlier, are we living our lives on a daily basis in relationship to the Good Shepherd? And do we live in such a way that other sheep who do not know the love and care of our shepherd look longingly, as those sheep that Keller describes, look longingly at our lives under the care of Jesus and want that for themselves? It's not about looking cool to others. It's not about looking like we've got our lives together, that we've figured it out. It's not about looking wealthy or accomplished or smart. It's about looking like an animal that a lot of people think has some intelligence but is not overly smart. Sheep, defenseless and hopeless without someone taking care of them. That's what it looks like. That is what Jesus has in mind when he says, go into the world and make disciples, make other followers. Join me in my mission to reach other sheep. And oh, by the way, you don't have to have your act together. Just live into your relationship of dependency and love and intimacy with me, and the Spirit will make that attractive to those sheep who are ready to jump into a new fold. Let's close this morning again this week with a breath prayer. We'll do it 2 or 3 or 4 times. As you inhale, Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. And as you exhale, all that I need in life is found in you. Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. All that I need in life is found in you. Oh, Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. All that I need in life is found in you. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. All that I need in life is found in you. We thank you, good shepherd, for loving us, for knowing us. And even when you did, you went ahead and laid down your life for us. Capture our hearts that are prone to wander because you are prone to chase. And let us be sheep in this life who realize that we can't allow you to get out of our sight every day in every way. Amen.